remember that in planning today and making plans. Amen. So last week we had kind of a question on budgeting. It was to do what do we do with the carryover if we didn't spend all our money in that one category? Is the question that was. And I had suggested, well, if you have debt, you'd use that to pay extra on your debt, or you could use it to save. So then it kind of led to the question of, well, how can I, or I guess we kind of got on the topic of how can I track my savings? There's a kind of a spreadsheet I just put on a slide. It just shows kind of a way to segregate your savings. Accounting term we use is subsidiary accounts. So you can see it's one savings account. You have your emergency fund that you can keep track of separately. And maybe you have home maintenance, vehicle maintenance, and a Christmas fund. It's kind of a handy tool for keeping track of savings. And this is at that Vertex 42 website I've been getting all my spreadsheets from. Pretty easy to use. Not going to spend too much time here, but just for your information. Okay, so what I'd like to do quick is just do a little bit of a review on the truth of money, the truth about money, what we started with and when we started these lessons. So we'll just start here with 1 Timothy 4. So remember, money is a blessing, the Bible says. So let's read this out. I'll read it out loud. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. And this is just kind of a review to go over and get our mind on track of the very base of this whole series. So second, money can also be a curse. So let's look at 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. And I'll read it out loud again. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish, harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves through many transgressions or griefs. Jumbling my words. Okay. And then last, The Bible advises don't set your heart, your treasure on earth where things will perish, but seek out the heavenly treasures. So we'll just take a look quick at Luke 12, 32 through 34. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the three things we as Christians want to keep in mind when we're dealing with finances is we can recognize money as a blessing because that's what it was intended for. Money can be a curse it can lead us to destruction a potential that we have to watch out for. And also rather than store up riches here, we should plan on eternity. So with that, we'll go to today's lesson. So the topic is financial planning. So what I mean, financial planning is just a way of having goals and carrying them out. So I'll ask this question. What are your goals? What are your life goals? Let's think about that. I have a little space on the handout. A place to write in your life goal. Let's write down one at least. Just take a few minutes to think about it. So we're writing down our life, one of our life goals. Or if we don't have one, we're taking a little bit of time just to think about it. I'll just wait a couple more minutes. Okay, I think we'll start now. So now that you have your life goal, let's just think about it a little bit. The question I'd ask myself when I have my life goal in front of me, is it a goal worth having? Why is this valuable to me? What good it will come from this goal. Just a couple of thoughts to have. There's a proverb in the Bible. Oh, I had a little slide for what are your life goals, but I didn't switch it. But a proverb in the Bible. Oops, that's not the right one. It says, "Many are the plans of a person's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails." So we can make plans, but ultimately our plans will fail. And that's not to put down making plans. It's just the truth that the Lord's purpose will prevail. So we keep that in mind when we're planning. Because like I had said, or what is said in the Bible, is all earthly goals will perish. Heavenly things will last forever. So financial planning is a really broad topic. Oh, Chris, I saw someone raise their hand. Financial planning, again, a broad topic. It can really encompass anything, any type of plan where you need money. So we're going to talk about two areas of financial planning that might apply to most of us, retirement and college planning. So for those who went to college, you might be thinking about your kids going to college, so it's another good topic to discuss. So I have a proverb here. The glory of young men is their splendor. Gray hair is the splendor of the old. There's a value in retirement, a real value. What's said here is with age comes wisdom and knowledge. Do you want to spend your old years spinning a grinding wheel when you can't really keep up with all the young people? There's a better place to spend your time. You can use your experience and knowledge. In retirement, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not working. It just means that you free up your time to do something else. For example, I mean, being a grandpa, being a grandparent to your kids, it's a wonderful thing. My grandparents, huge influence on my life. I think about them a lot. I really enjoy their company. I don't get to spend enough time with them. Their experiences are just great to speak with them. Just a wonderful thing, and it's good that they're not working. They have energy to keep up with us young kids. Just a great source of wisdom. Also, I mean, when you're retirement age, you're probably, you know, you have the most experience, the most wisdom. You can give it to your church. You can give it to your family. So retirement is a very good thing and a blessing. Retirement is also a time to enjoy God's creation, what He's left here. It doesn't, You won't spend all of your time doing that, but it's a great time to do that. So, do you have a retirement goal? Do you have a date in mind? When do you retire? And I know a lot of us are young here, but I think having kind of a date in mind is a good thing, and I'm going to show you why. So do you have that? By show of hands, does anybody have like an idea of when they're going to retire? Oh, Pastor. Not very many young people raise their hands, but it's something just to think about. And it doesn't take a lot of time to think about. You don't have to dwell on it. Just have kind of a plan. Are you going to retire early, 55 or 65? Don't make this comment. I've made this comment. I'm just going to work forever. I'm going to work till I die because that's the way things are now. That's really a naive comment. You really need to plan it, and I want to show you this. So what will it take to meet your retirement goal? That's the question you should ask. How much will you need? This is a good question. It's very hard to answer. Because you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. It's hard to plan. Christ might return tomorrow, right? Or you might die early. Just reality. That's no reason not to save for retirement. Another possibility is you could live 40, maybe even 50 years past your retirement. So important to think about. You know, I've heard many people speak on retirement, and they say, well, I'm not really going to have that much expenses. I mean, my house will be paid off. I don't really need too much of a vehicle. I can just go with whatever. There's truth in that, but you can expect expenses that you don't experience now. There's medical expenses. The cost of insurance gets really high when you're older. And then it's possible that you'll need long-term care. And I don't like the idea of long-term care, but it happens. It's something just to keep in mind that could be an expense. So how do we plan for retirement, and how do we reach these goals? God has created everything, and everything. It's just wonderful. He's made everything grow, the crops of the fields, the plants of the ground. And then there's financial instruments that grow too, and it can help you to meet your goals. And we like to call this the power of compounding interest. There's a proverb. It says, dishonest money will dwindle away, but whoever gathers money little by little will make it grow. So I want to tell you a story. It's a story of two people that are saving for retirement. Ben and Arthur is their names. So they're both just out of high school now, 19 years old. They got their whole world in front of them. So Arthur decides this. He says, well, nobody's saving for retirement now. I'm just out of high school. I have to go to college. I have to get ready for life. I need a house and stuff. You know, right? That's what you think about when you get out of high school. I'm going to get married someday. Well, things are going to happen, right? So he's working to go to college. He decides, you know, my paycheck, it's just going to go straight towards expenses, housing expenses, and that's how he makes his plan. And it's perfectly reasonable to anyone, right? I mean, everyone would say, well, that's fine. He doesn't have enough to save for retirement now. So he graduates from college and gets into a house and a new job, and then he also says, well, now's not the time for retirement. I have housing expenses, and I just make just enough to afford the house I chose. So he decides to not take advantage of some of the retirement plans his employer offers, and just put his money towards his house. So then, after 8 years after high school, he says, well, now I can finally afford to start investing in my retirement. After all of this, I'm going to put $2,000 a year into a retirement plan. So Ben, on the other side, and I know we have a Ben here, but not that Ben, but he does this. Both Ben and Arthur are great. They're great kids, by the way. But Ben, he decides, you know what, I'm going to start making some sacrifices right away to plan for this. Because his parents told him, you know, it's really important that you plan for this. You'll be a great value in later in life. And Ben takes that to heart. So he makes some sacrifices. He doesn't go to college right away. He starts putting $2,000 into a retirement plan just right away, right after high school. He does go through college. Takes a little bit longer to be able to afford it. And then he also buys a house in about sometime after college. Just same thing as Arthur, but he's all the while putting $2,000 into a retirement plan. So let's just kind of look at how they did throughout their life. Just a little chart. So they managed to get... So if you look at Ben, he puts about $18,000 in. I should have mentioned that, you know, just for the example purpose, let's just say he stops investing completely after 8 years. Does Arthur even ever really catch up? No, he can't catch up. It just continues to grow. So Ben invests only $18,000. Arthur invests $76,000. Just look at the difference. That's the power of compounding interest right there. It's what happens over time. You know, this same investing principle, it applies to many different aspects of life. For example, it applies to souls. You put a Christian in an area, the earlier they start saving people, they compound and save other people. It just kind of something that can apply to life. So, we have this example here of how compounding interest can work for us. Next, let's talk about some of the retirement savings plans out there. I mean, you could put your money into a brokerage account. By brokerage account, it's just a securities investing account. And I'm going to talk more about different types of investments later on in our lessons. But specifically, let's start with employer-sponsored defined contribution plans. It's a lot of words to chew up, but what I mean is they're basically your 401ks, 403bs, depending on what. Maybe how many people have an employer that offers one of these? Great. How many people are participating in them? Very good. If you're not participating, start now. It's a very good tax advantage plan. I'm just going to mention a few things about them. They're really convenient because they're deducted right from your paycheck. If you start right away, right after. Right when you start your job, you're not going to miss the money because you never see it. So great for new employees just to start right away contributing as much as you can. A couple things about this. The reasons why they are more advantageous is you don't pay tax on the growth of them, and you don't pay tax, they defer your paycheck, basically. So the tax savings will help make this compounding interest work more for you. Another advantage is your employer matches, and it sounds like a lot of you have these plans, so you probably are somewhat aware, but many employers will match 3% or 6%. Just a really great retirement planning tool. I just have listed here a couple other things. You can contribute up to $17,500 a year to one of these, and there's catch-up contributions if you're over 50. Very great tool for saving. We'll go ahead and move on to the next one. So let's say your employer doesn't offer one of these. And what options do you have? There's a couple other tax that will help you with tax savings, a couple other investment vehicles that will help you. There's traditional and Roth IRAs. I'll just explain the difference between the two. They're pretty much similar, except the traditional, you get a tax deduction for it, and it grows tax. The growth in the account is tax-free. Whereas a Roth, it works differently. The growth is tax-free, but when you take the money out, that's not taxed. So when you take the money out of a traditional, you have to pay a tax. It's based on an annuity rate. Annuity is kind of a fancy term for they project how much you put into the plan versus the earnings to determine what amount of that distribution is taxable. Does that make sense? I know I kind of stumbled over that, but that's how that's figured. I won't go into the details here, but just kind of in basic summary. So those are a couple other options. Not mentioned here, but maybe worth mentioning for our benefit. There's many investment planners that suggest using life insurance or variable annuities for retirement planning. What I have to say about those is for most people it's not worth it. They're more costly to maintain. So if they tell you that, say, well, these are they're much more simple. I wouldn't take that advice. Just kind of a word of caution. I've heard quite a few investment planners suggesting that nowadays. It may be more advantageous for some people with the higher wealth individuals, but they're not very practical. So that what I'm saying is, therefore, the variable annuities and life insurance, don't use those to retire. That's not really what they're intended for anyways. But people like to use them because they can also be used for tax planning. Do I have any questions before we go? My RA? I haven't heard of that, no. It could be an investment product that person offers. I mean, they could have named it for their firm. Has anybody heard of MyRA? Nope. A proposal? Yeah, I haven't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of that, but I might look into it. There's also not mentioned here, there's a couple other ones for self-employed people. There's the SEP, which is a simplified pension plan. It works fairly similar to an IRA. You can contribute a little bit more. I think it's $52,000 of your net earnings from self-employment. Just worth mentioning. But any other questions before we move on?
Between like a traditional IRA and a Roth, what would you say would be a fair distribution among the two? So like if you're working for an employer that offers 401k match option or a Roth option, which is either one or both, how would you distribute between the two?
How would I plan? Well, me personally, I just take advantage of the 401k first. It depends on your financial situation. It's hard to give just a straight answer, but it depends on the timing of the tax advantage. I could tell you this: a traditional IRA, they typically will not outperform a Roth IRA. So the Roth is usually a better vehicle. The reason for that is your money will grow over time. Wouldn't you rather have that not be taxed? Of course, there's always no guarantee of what tomorrow brings, but just in general terms, the Roth IRA is more advantageous. Like a rollover? Yeah, there's certain times where that might be advantageous. Well, timing is really critical because what happens is if you have a year where you don't have a lot of income, it'd be a good time to do it, or because our tax system it's bracketed. So if you're paying at your highest marginal rate, you'll pay the most tax. It's really have to consider timing when rolling it over. But it isn't you could calculate the tax savings of rolling it over, because if you look at the long term, the scope of it, you'll see that there's tax savings in the Roth that you won't get with the traditional. So I'm trying to find a way to say it in simple terms, because you take the present value of the tax that you'd pay and compare it to the present value of the tax savings over the long term when you retire. So that's what goes in planning. So yes, to answer your question shortly, there is a time where it would be advantageous to roll it over, but you have to look at it carefully. So any other questions? Okay, let's move on to next topic, college planning. So education, it has its value. It has a great value. I was just thinking about this Bible verse in Ecclesiastes. A person could do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. You know, when this was written, they didn't know of Christ. It was a mystery at that time. But I think, and now we do know Christ, and things are a bit different in that we know of our salvation. But there is value in our work and what God has put us here to do. It says in Ecclesiastes that there's nothing better to do than to find satisfaction in your work. How do you find satisfaction on your work? I mean, find something you love to do and do it with all of your heart and all of your might. It says that in the Bible also. And by doing that, you can use the Christian values you have been taught to just be a light in this world. So what's the value of education? It might get you to a job where you find satisfaction. Your job might not require a four-year degree that brings you satisfaction. But education always has a value for wisdom and knowledge, refining skills. So we're talking about financial planning. The cost of college is just, it's rising. Everyone knows it. It's rising way more than inflation, way more than anything. We're not here to discuss why that's happening, but I just think it's interesting looking at it. Look at this this graph. I mean, there's normal inflation, the consumer price index, versus the cost of college. It's just rising. What does that mean for us? It just means that we have to plan very carefully now, and it requires careful planning now more than ever. So I'm sure parents kind of drop their jaw to the floor just thinking about it. What is it going to cost to send my kid to school? It's just an amazing, wow, it's really rising, right? So it takes really careful planning nowadays. A good strategy for parents is this. A lot of financial planners advise this. Start saving right when they're born. Start putting aside some money. One way of doing it is maybe it's their birthday gift, part of their birthday gift. They'll definitely thank you when they graduate. Another way of doing it is just teaching your kids to save when they get their summer jobs in high school. Don't go blow that money. Take a lesson from me. I didn't really save for college. I carried a lot of student debt because of it. It was a real burden for me. So it's very valuable to teach your kids this. So the tips are, just so I'm clear, might want to start saving when they're born. And you just put a portion aside for them and teach your kids this. Let's look at a couple College of Savings plans that are offered that are tax beneficial also. I think I have. There's two I want to discuss. They're the main ones. A Section 529 plan and a Coverdell Savings plan. They're both state-offered plans. They're fairly similar. I'll just kind of explain the 529 plan first. It's a managed fund, meaning that the investments in it will be managed by the state, whoever they have appointed. You select from a variety of investment strategies. So rather than picking out your specific investment, you pick a strategy. Like risk level, low risk, high risk. I'll talk more about investments next week, but just kind of a basic overview. Also, the benefit here is the tax-free growth and tax-free withdrawals for the qualified education expenses. So with the 529 plan, there's no limit on contributions. You can contribute as much as you want to these plans. The account can exceed $235,000, though. Another benefit is the account is transferable to family members. You could transfer it to any of your legal children, brothers, sisters, parents, spouse, or even first cousin. Of course, you can't use the money for yourself. It has to be used for education. The other is the Coverdell ESA. I'll just quick summarize the main difference here. The main difference is that they're self-directed investments. You don't have to use their managed funds. You can select a mutual fund that you would like, for example. Another difference is that it's the contributions to these plans is capped at $2,000 per year, so you can't contribute as much, but you get a little bit more control. They're great vehicles for saving for college. It's just the growth, the tax savings really helps with the growth is what they're for. Do I have any questions on these? You can do both. They're not too hard to set up. You can go to any investment bank and set them up, or you don't have to use an investment bank too. Very helpful thing, a tool in planning. And that's everything I had planned to go through. Do I have any questions today? Yeah, they're great. They're a great tool. See, you could use a 401k, or if you want to use a Roth IRA too. It depends on your situation. Maybe right now it's not. Maybe the Roth is preferable now because of your income tax bracket, or maybe the 401k is. It depends. But it's a great tool to start because it'll deduct some money out of your paycheck every month. I would say start it or start in a Roth IRA. You could set up a Roth IRA to take money, direct auto withdrawal from your account, but then you have to make sure you have money in your account to cover it. But yeah, I think it would be great to use a 401k. It's good to get some advice too, where to put your money, because I'm going to talk about it some tomorrow, but you got to consider all the risks, because there's risks of losing the money, but you also don't want to be too risk adverse, because then it won't beat out inflation. It won't grow because the cost of living increases too. Yeah, just because your employer doesn't offer matching, that's not a reason not to contribute. Any other questions? Oh, Chris? Yeah, that's a good way to try to aim at it. I'd want to at least make what I'm making now. You have to understand that the cost of living will increase. So one method of doing it is say, well, here's my estimated return that I'll get from there, and this is how much I have of a nest egg. This is how much the account will be valued at in my plan in the end. And then you can use that to determine how much you can take out per year. It's not an exact science, of course, because you don't know how much you're going to earn, but it'll give you a good idea. Of course, I haven't gone through retirement, so I don't know, but I personally, Katie and I contribute to we have, through our employer, it's called a thrift savings plan. It's pretty similar to a 401k. So, Any other questions?
We live in a society today that lives for self. And I think along with this retirement and everything else, I think we need to get the mentality that we're going to leave something for our children. And it may not happen, you know, we may have a medical problem or something else, but I know my dad has set in my mind that, you know, save for your children.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that point. It's a good point that leaving something behind is what we want to do. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. You could leave behind just godly wisdom. Godliness is a great thing that we leave behind if you don't have money. But leaving behind money, that mentality that it's mine, I'm going to spend it, we as Christians want to avoid that. Because it's not ours. We're a custodian. We're just here temporarily. If we manage our resources well, they could be a blessing to the next generation. How we pass that on to the next generation is a topic for another day I have planned. But it's a great point.
Andrew, I appreciate what you said about retirement. What you said was retirement doesn't mean you're not working. It means you free your time to do something else. And I really, really appreciate that. And certainly as a Christian man and then as a pastor, I would hope that our mentality is, I want to get to a place where my time is free to do something that has eternal value. Whether that is, as Tony was talking about, within my immediate family or within my church family or the broader kingdom of God, that's what I want my retirement to look like. I want to be able to spend those years impacting eternity. That was a really, really good point that you made.
Thank you for bringing that up. And before all, just kind of a word of caution. In preparing for these lessons, I found there's many Christian financial advisors who use retirement as, do you want to retire rich? Or I caution you from that mentality. It'll cause you problems. It's going to cause you to go away from God, this mentality that I got to be rich when I retire. Just kind of a word of caution. Right. You can use your retirement to help out your church, to help out those around you, your community. It's freeing, like Pastor had mentioned, it's freeing up your time to do something better, to do God's work. If you use that mentality, God will be there, right there with you in planning your retirement. And that's how I want to plan my retirement. I don't want to go off and come up with some way of trying to get rich. You know, I want God to be there with me. Any other questions? You are all dismissed.